Welcome to the Atlas Mara's market update. There will be a presentation given by the management team. Following that, we will open the call up for questions. I will now hand the call over to John Vitalio, CEO of Atlas Mara. Please go ahead, sir.
Operator, thanks so much. Everyone, thank you for joining us on our first market update of 2015. Together joining me here today are Bob Diamond and Ashish Thakkar, our co-founders, Irina McDonald, Chief Financial Officer of Atlas Mara, and Brad Gibbs, a member of the Executive Committee of Atlas Mara. You'll have seen we issued our first quarter results announcement earlier today. We've also just this morning hosted our first annual general meeting, and the results of that will be shortly posted to our website. We've placed a presentation on our website. Our website just relaunched at atlasmara.com, which will form the basis for our discussion this morning. Before beginning, I'd like to turn everyone's attention to the disclaimer on page 26 of that presentation, which we will treat as read and acknowledged. Slide 2 of that presentation presents the agenda for this call. We'll run through the presentation, and then we'll open the lines for questions. Our objective with this call is to give you further insights into Atlas Mara and our operations. During the course of this call, we will discuss our strategy and, importantly, our execution against our stated objectives, discuss our current areas of focus, and reiterate our outlook for 2015 and beyond. I'm now going to hand over to Bob to make some opening remarks.
John, thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. The first quarter of 2015 clearly represents a continuation of our stated strategy. First, I want to point out that management has been intensely focused on three things: execution, execution, execution. Why? Because the team continues to spend the vast majority of its time on the ground working with our local teams to enhance the operational performance of our businesses. However, in parallel, they continue to evaluate and execute value-added acquisitions, and I want you to know that our acquisition pipeline remains robust. The announced proposed acquisition of BPR in Rwanda will lead to Atlas Mara owning more than 70% of Rwanda's second largest bank. That's a very good case in point. Let me say that in terms of UBN, we now have three seats on UBN's board of directors. They're pending Central Bank of Nigerian approval, but all three of our board directors, John, Irina, and Beatrice, are attending meetings and board committees. We are very pleased with the recently reported financial results there. More we can do, but pleased. Finally and importantly, as we have told you, we will do everything we can that the shareholders have been asking of us. And in particular, you will have seen that we announced the renewal by our board of our share repurchase authorization. Think of this as part of what we promised you, a multifaceted program to address our share price performance. All in all, Atlas Mara and our team are off to a good start, but boy, is there more to come. As John and the team will convey, we remain very confident of our ability to deliver our medium-term targets. And remember what we have told you about our medium-term targets: loan and deposit growth 1.5 times nominal GDP, a 60 to 65% cost-income ratio, 2% return on assets, and 20% return on equity. So we remain more committed than ever to those targets. And I want to say finally, we have put our money where our mouth is. You've read recently about the management and board acquiring shares. Let me now pass the call back to John Vitello.
Thank you, Bob. So, folks, if you turn to page 4, I'd like to highlight a number of items. So we show there on slide four, firstly, we reported a modest profit of $500,000 for the first quarter of 2015. This, of course, reflects a meaningful improvement versus the 2014 reported loss. Second, as we'll discuss in more detail this morning, we've been working intensively with Bank ABC management, effecting various operational improvements in connection with Bank ABC's Fit for Growth program. Third, we note that since our March 25th year-end results announcement, UBN has reported its year-end 2014 and its first quarter 2015 results. The performance there is encouraging, and we look forward to contributing to UBN's ongoing development, given our 31% direct and indirect shareholding and the three board seats pending central bank approval that Bob just spoke of. Fourth, I'd like to note on this slide, we continue to execute our acquisition-driven strategy, having post-quarter end announced our proposed investment in and merger with Banque Populaire du Rwanda. We're evaluating further transactions as well as external financing opportunities to fund them. And finally, on this slide, I'd highlight that our board of directors, Bob just referred to this, has renewed our authorization to acquire up to 10% of our share capital, which we view as an important tool in our corporate finance toolkit. And we're in discussions with advisors regarding the establishment and execution of an appropriate share repurchase program. Before we dive into the details of the first quarter, I think it'd be helpful if Ashish adds some thoughts for us on the macro backdrop in sub-Saharan Africa.
Thanks, John, and thank you everyone for joining today's call. If I can turn you to slide six. It's been an extraordinary several months in sub-Saharan Africa. As you will have seen, although the IMF has reduced its growth forecast for the region, projected GDP growth in our countries of operations remains solid, other than in Zimbabwe, ranging roughly 5 to 7%. Growth rates in developed markets look extremely flat by comparison. Turning to page seven, I'd like to highlight several recent developments in Nigeria. The recently concluded elections in Nigeria are truly historic. The fact that we had a sitting president unseated by an opposition leader in an extremely peaceful, free, and fair democratic election is absolutely amazing and real history in the making. While the oil price declines have put pressure on the economy and the government's fiscal position, the long-term economic prospects remain bright, and the current environment creates a catalyst for the removal of subsidies and a true diversification of our economy. Broadly speaking, Nigeria continues to represent one of the most exciting and dynamic economies in sub-Saharan Africa. And I can tell you firsthand, having been in Lagos quite recently, that there is an amazing energy in the air. Despite near-term challenges, a real spirit of dynamism and optimism about the future is truly contagious. I will now turn the presentation back to John.
Ashish, thank you. So I'm on slide nine now, and I'd like to reiterate the comprehensive nature of our approach to enhancing the operations of our subsidiaries. As we've said before, we are far from passive investors, and as this page illustrates, we truly are operators intimately involved in all facets of our businesses. Here on this slide, you see selected initiatives that are currently in progress, and they touch upon nearly every facet of our organization's operations, from strategy, product development, to credit process, lifecycle management, to HR, management structure, managing relationships with all of our constituents, including regulators. There's a lot of detail on this slide, and I'm not going to read through it here, but if you want to understand what we do as operators, this is your slide, and I'd encourage you to read through it. Turning to the presentation over to Arena now, who will provide more color on the Q1 performance across the group.
Thank you, John. As John noted, we reported a net profit of $500,000 for the first quarter of 2015. As discussed on page 10, all operating entities, except for Tanzania, reported a profit during the first quarter, with non-interest income and income from associates, namely our investment in UBN, all contributing positively to our quarterly results. However, The first quarter has not been without headwinds in several of our markets of operation. Pressure in the credit and payments line was visible, mainly in Zimbabwe, where macro factors continued to put pressure on business performance. Continued high costs of funding due to market liquidity pressures put pressure on margin income, negatively impacting the reported results. As John referenced, we have a number of initiatives on the go to address both these near-term headwinds and longer-term structural and operational challenges. The table on page 11 provides a comparison of Atlas Mara's Q1 2013 results versus the pro forma results for the comparative period of the first quarter in 2014. It also provides variance analysis on a total basis, quarter on quarter, as well as on a constant currency basis, reflecting the performance variance, excluding the impact of foreign exchange translation differences. By way of example, had it not been for the unrealized currency impact, the growth in the loan book would have reflected an increase of 160 million on deposit growth, would have been 335 million on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The last statistic particularly positively reflects our management's focus to increase the lower cost liabilities in addressing the high cost of funds, which is a challenge across most of our markets. Page 12 presents a segmental breakdown of our Q1 results. As you can see, the Southern and West segments represented the lion's share of the group's profits, with losses still recorded in the East segment. In the far right column, we reflect the corporate costs together with consolidation entries for reference purposes. The performance trends of our operating businesses reflected on this page are all encouraging insofar that most of these financial metrics on a sequential basis, i.e. the last quarter of 2014 versus the first quarter of 2015, shows a meaningful improvement. On slide 13, we provide selected qualitative commentary in relation to these results for further detail on operational performance and also new initiatives that is starting to take effect. More detail around the cost base of the corporate centre and the other consolidation entries that are all included in the segment referred to as corporate is also provided for additional colour on this slide. On slide 14, we provide some information on the current loan book in terms of industry exposure and further financial ratios to indicate the current asset quality of the book. As you can see from the graph on the left-hand side, our asset portfolio is broadly balanced with an almost equal split between corporate and retail client segments. The corporate loan book is further well diversified across various industries. In terms of asset quality, the table on the right-hand side is indicative of some macro headwinds facing Zimbabwe, but we're all keenly focused on collections and on asset recovery in the future. In terms of provisioning, we believe that we have sufficient provisions to cover for potential downside risk on the asset portfolio, given the different risk profile of the assets in each specific country. On slide 15, we provide some detail around the impact of foreign currency movements on Atlas Mara's results. The appreciation of the US dollar against African currencies has had a negative impact on a translation basis on our reported results. It should be noted that Atlas Mara does not intend to hedge translation currency risk, but it does seek to, through its operations and treasury management, manage or minimize foreign exchange risk in transactions. Now turning to slide 17, we provide some detail on UBN's financial results, in which Atlas Mara owns 31% of the shareholding, and the contribution of these earnings are all included in the West segment of our results. On page 17, as both Bob and John noted before, the positive trends of UBN's financial performance is evident, both on a year-on-year basis as well as on a quarter-by-quarter basis, as was published to the market on 28 April. The financial performance metrics of UBN are all positively improving in every reporting period for the last 2 years, and it reflects the UBM management's focus to achieve this continued growth amidst many of the macro challenges that Nigeria as a country has recently faced. UBM has provided selected guidance for 2015, including loan and deposit growth of above 30% and continued expansion in the net interest margin. On page 18, we highlight several facets of UBM's transformation program on which management embarked about 18 months ago, which are all supportive of the improved financial results that are evident from the UBM's published numbers. And on page 19, we highlight UBM's current loan exposures per sector diversification, as well as its non-performing loan breakdown, again, per industry sector. We would note that both the diversity of the portfolio and UBM's effective navigation to date of the recent currency depreciation and oil price declines are very positive as reflected in this page. I would now like to turn the discussion back to John to touch upon our recent announced transaction in Rwanda.
Thank you, Arena. So, as you likely saw on April 27th, we announced that we're in exclusive discussions with Banque Populaire de Rwanda, or BPR, as it's known, regarding a potential transaction whereby we'd inject circa $22.5 million into BPR in exchange for a 45% stake. And thereafter, we intend to merge our existing bank in Rwanda, BRD Commercial, and BPR, thus becoming, Atlas Mara becoming more than 70% shareholder in Rwanda's second largest bank by assets. This represents our second transaction in Rwanda, which we continue to view as both a dynamic market in its own right and as a means of obtaining a meaningful position in the East Africa Community, or EAC, one of Sub-Saharan Africa's most vibrant trading blocs. This proposed transaction is also wholly consistent with our strategy of being a top 3 to 5 player in all the markets in which we operate, and we will of course, continue to keep the market apprised as this transaction progresses. Going to slide 23, I'd now like to take the opportunity to reiterate the guidance that we provided in connection with the publication of our year-end results. And these are the things that we put out there for you to hold us accountable to and for us to hold ourselves accountable to. We remain confident of our ability to achieve these medium-term targets. Loan and deposit growth greater than 1.5 times GDP, 60 to 65% cost income ratio, NPLs less than 4%, return on assets 2%, and return on equity of 20%. In connection with requests to provide more granularity on the path to that, we've prepared a more detailed bridge analysis, which I'll now ask Arena to walk through.
Thanks, John. As John mentioned, we remain confident of achieving the medium-term guidance provided in March. The waterfall on slide 24 provides more color on the expected drivers of improvement in the return on equity. We have allocated the expected areas of ROE uplift into the categories consistent with our buy, protect, and grow business model. The major opportunities for enhancing our ROE relate to reductions in the cost of funds, lower credit losses, and expense savings for driving operational efficiencies. Various identified revenue enhancement opportunities are also expected to contribute to the longer-term ROE and also some milestones to achieve in the shorter term. Finally, acquisitions and, in several cases, quantified synergies all contribute to the circa 20% ROE guidance that we've put out for the medium term. Against this backdrop, I will ask Brad to provide some context on our platform and outlook versus our current and relative valuation.
Thank you, Rena. Turning your attention to page 25, you'll see that we presented a similar slide during our conference call in March. We wanted to, once again, take this opportunity to reiterate that our platform is unique. From our perspective, we have a presence in high-growth markets which are difficult if not impossible to obtain, listed financial services exposure in. Adding to that, we have a top-flight management team, we have a well-articulated strategy, and we continue to execute to plan, having now announced 5 acquisitions in around 16 months. Furthermore, our London listing provides market accessibility and investors' comfort with respect to governance and compliance. However, despite all these facets and the various guidance presented earlier, we continue to trade below book value and meaningfully below various regional peers. In connection with this, as Bob alluded to, we have a multifaceted program for engaging with the market and dealing with share price performance. And in particular, we look forward to engaging with analysts and investors to assist in bridging what we perceive to be both an information gap as well as a valuation gap. I'll now turn the call back over to John to say some concluding remarks before opening up to Q&A.
Thanks, Brett. So before opening the lines for questions, I'd like to thank our shareholders for their constructive feedback, and I'd like to highlight several of the steps that we've taken to enhance our engagement with the market. In addition to investor calls, conference calls in November, in March, and today, we've participated in numerous conferences and investor forums, and we've held around 100 one-on-one meetings. Additionally, we've sought to provide more color on underlying operational performance in our public disclosure, and we've provided granular medium-term guidance to assist investors in understanding our perspectives on our prospects. We're pleased that one well-regarded analyst has initiated research coverage, and we expect others to follow. We recognize the importance of candid, frequent communication, so we look forward to answering and addressing your questions. Operator, with that, if you'd please open the line for questions.
Certainly, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. If you'd like to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Lee Cooperman of Omega Advisors.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for this update. I just wanted to clarify one thing. You mentioned about the renewal of the stock repurchase program, but I don't think other than management buying, the corporation bought, and then you've, I think, announced the intention of issuing a convert. Now, I understand the convert is convertible at a premium to the market, and if you buy back stock, you're buying stock back at market. But can you kind of give us some insight into kind of what you guys are thinking? You know, is the buyback real? Under what circumstances would you use it? And how do you contrast that with the desire to expand equity by issuing a convert?
Lee, it's Brad Gibbs. I'll field this question. They're basically, with respect to the share repurchase, it's a two-step process. The first step was obtaining the renewal of the authorization from the board yesterday to acquire up to 10% of our share capital. The second step of that process is actually establishing and executing the share repurchase program. We're in discussions with advisors in terms of the correct strategy in the form that execution might take, and we'll keep the market apprised as and when we pull the trigger. But we're certainly very cognizant of the fact that it's important to have the tool in our corporate finance toolkit to proactively acquire shares when we deem it to be value creative to do so. In terms of potential external financing to fund our acquisition, we continue to evaluate a host of alternatives. This is in connection with the pipeline of acquisitions that John and Bob alluded to, and financing them in a way which is going to be, once again, accretive to shareholders. We do not view it to be a disconnect between the idea of potentially repurchasing at below the market with the opportunity to issue at on the other, but it's a trade-off that we're very cognizant of and are continually monitoring.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ilan Sturmer of Renaissance Capital. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. Morning, everyone. Thanks for quite a comprehensive results pack and presentation. Much appreciated. I've just got a couple of very much numbers-related questions. Firstly, in terms of the funding costs and the NIMs, where I understand the medium-term synopsis here, dropping funding costs over time. Is there any prospect of that happening in the short term, given the liquidity constraints in the various markets that you're in? And then the second question relates to the defaults and the impairment side of things. Obviously, quite a pleasing reduction in Q1. What is the prospect for impairments for the rest of the year? And can you shed a little bit of light on what's going on in Tanzania? Because that seems to be a bit of a difficult market for yourselves at the moment. Thank you.
Hello, Ilan. It's Arena. I'll field your questions. Specifically on the funding costs, and you're quite right, the downward pressure on margins is evident. What is pleasing is already in the month of April, we saw that our Botswana entity has reduced its cost of funding. It is a process, and as you know, as books reprice, it takes time, but the answer would be yes. We are confident that already in 2015, we will see some reduction in that. In the presentation, we do reference to very good conversations that we are having with some development finance institutions, and we believe that funding from them, both in tenure and pricing, will further reduce the cost of funding and open up margins for us. In the long term, as we've noted, this is one of the key levers that we would wish to drive to enhance shareholder value and profitability as much. In terms of impairment, it is a constant focus, Ilan. The market do experience some different pressures given macroeconomic and different macros in each country, given commodity prices and so forth. You've referenced Tanzania. We are very confident that we have sufficient provisions to cover for any downside risk.
Arena, perhaps I can stop you there just one second. The difficulties in Tanzania, are they default related? Because it doesn't immediately jump out at one from the slide in the presentation.
Ilan, it's default related to the extent that some of these provisions that we've taken, that we've mentioned to the market during 2014, those were all part of the pre-acquisition provision. So the specific line that is on slide 14 for Tanzania shows the bank specific ones before those that were written off out of the bank's balance sheet that were default related. So this reflects the clean book. You'll see the reference at the bottom.
Okay.
Those that were default were 100% provided and written off.
I understand. Thanks.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We appear to have no further questions. Please continue.
All right, operator, thank you. So many thanks to everyone for joining today's call. Please, if you have further questions, be in touch with me or Arena or Brad. I remain, and all the team remain, very excited, massively excited, about the opportunity we have and about the outlook for 2015. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.